you want to be a follower of Imam Hussein, whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim, it is not important. It's just important to be in the resistance action line, something we say, muqawama.
Yes.
And this is important to say that if you want to defend some innocent people around the world, you should actually, in the opposite side of Israel, the opposite side of USA, because
yes.
you know that they want to follow something which actually make us bombard, not our Iranian, but all people and all over the world with free thought.
That's right. That's right. By attacking the civilians and residential areas. And you know that I've seen the flag of, you know, and I've seen the banners over some of the coffins of our shuhada in Tehran.
Yeah.
It was written in Farsi, Oruj Khanevadegi. It means that our sardar, our commanders, along with the family members, were martyred. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
And you, for example, Sardar Bagheri was one of them. Sardar
Abdi
was one of them. You know, the other commanders of Islam who were martyred along with their family members. And this is really what makes, knowing better our enemies. That their problem is not only with our commanders or our leaders or nuclear scientists, but even with the civilians, you know. So
you're right.
That's right. So there's still the trucks carrying the coffins are going on, isn't it? I think it's slow over there because there's so much crowded.
Yeah, that's an important point that you mentioned. Because, you know, here the martyrs, Shahada, just, are not just sardars or generals here or some scientists, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, all family members of a scientist or someone else or civilian, general civilian, normal ones, okay? They are not have some special kind of responsibility in Islamic Republic of Iran. Just they are actually Iranians without any special kind of work here. And alhamdulillah, it can make all people lie. I am actually aware that all Iranians, whether they're children or adults, are ready to be martyred for their opinions or their goals.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, Amas, Sister Zainab, for covering live the funeral ceremony held for our commanders in Tehran. It was very kind of you, and thank you very much for joining us live on IRIB English Radio.
So welcome. I'm so sorry. Let me actually correct. I'm Maryam.
Okay, Maryam. Yes, sorry, Sister Maryam.
All right,
Sister Maryam.
Have a good luck.
Thank you. Fi amanallah.
Jazakallah khairan. Thank you. Bye.
Fi amanallah. All right, Sister Zainab, this is what makes our even funeral ceremonies different from the other parts of the world, okay? This is not a funeral ceremony that is being held for a celebrity or a singer or an actor or something like that, okay? The crowd that are over there are after a cause. The crowd that are over there are after the lessons. I mean, even the funeral ceremonies are teaching courses for the people of Islamic Republic of Iran. And this is what very much resembles such funeral ceremonies that are being held to the majalis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the most crowded ones in the world.
And obviously, yes, just as you've said that, I was thinking back to my experience of the obviously huge, huge funeral ceremony for Shahid Soleimani.
Yes.
And that, in a sense, obviously, even though everyone is, there's the sorrow because obviously a dear person is sort of not physically present mm-hmm. with us, but as a Shahid with us.
Yes.
The energy is not one of being sad, in a sense. The energy
yes,
is
yes.
one of being motivated to become even stronger. And obviously this idea of unity
mm-hmm.
was hugely strong because these things unify everyone. And I remember literally looking around and thinking, well, I didn't think someone who looks like that would be, you know, such a lover of, you know, Shahid Soleimani, but everyone was together.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, Sister Zainab. And as I said earlier at the live show on Arab English Radio, that, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is a role model for all. One of the people who was influenced very much by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is Mr. Julian Bond, Julian Bond is the former director at Christian Muslim Forum. And you cannot believe that how a Christian was influenced by the character and personality of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam as a role model for all the people across the world. Let's listen to him, to Mr. Julian Bond and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
So when I first heard about Imam Hussein and read the story, I was shocked that he was the grandson of the Prophet, essentially sieged by the Caliph and receiving end of this great battle where he's with a small group and there's this huge army surrounding him. And the appalling violence and brutality and how most of the Prophet's family was wiped out by this, and trying to understand how that could happen within the Muslim community where the figure of the Prophet Muhammad was so important, and that's passed on to his family, to his grandson, and then everything was just sort of thrown over. And there are parallels with what happened to Jesus, so his message was difficult in his time, and he fell foul of the authorities, and like Imam Hussein, he could have gone away, he could have avoided that confrontation, gone to a place of safety, but he continued fixed. In the Gospels it talks about how his face was fixed towards Jerusalem. The parallels are very strong, and then the sort of redemptive quality that comes through the suffering, that people take strength from the suffering, and they see that their founders, the pioneers, have gone to the end and beyond for their faith. And that gives us that commitment, gives us hope and assurance, and it shows that however awful the things that are happening or could happen, that our founders have been there before us. I think key figures like Imam Hussein, Jesus Christ, the Prophet Muhammad, they can be role model for anyone who's heard of them, who's listened to their story, who's read about them, who's seen the things that they actually did rather than the negative things that people say about them. And for any of us to really try and understand where someone else is and what's really important to them, what's uppermost in their minds and hearts, to step into their shoes, you can't do that unless you think about what goes on in their lives, what goes on when they go to a place of worship, how they read their scriptures, what they think about their founders. And I think it would have to be a very rare person who, if they openly and genuinely and sincerely looked into another religion, so say it was Hinduism, we were talking about Krishna, or we were talking about the Buddha, not to be impressed by those people and to see the great things that they did and to be inspired by them, whether it was Gandhi, Martin Luther, or Malcolm X. We see what they did and the impact that they had, how they didn't compromise, they didn't run away from authority, and they kept on firm until the end. And that's one of the things that we often lack in society, not having good role models. Some of our good role models may be a long time in the past, they may be in a completely different tradition or religion or culture, but when we engage with them, then we can be inspired by them. And I think a lot of Christians who've looked into the story of Imam Hussein have been inspired by him, just as many Muslims are inspired by Jesus Christ in their own thinking and devotion and spirituality.
Rain's falling, telling by the those thirsty lips and about those wounded cheeks that were kissed by stones and sticks. Rain's falling, telling by the lonely sun and about the broken moon who was raised on the tips of his spears. As I walk in the streets, the rain soaks me with your stories. It washes my eyes, and now I can't see your memories. As I walk, your scent fills the air, and I hear your steps growing up. And between raindrops, suddenly a shadow appears. Jose. The dusty hair and the eyes which had stared at the children dragging their feet in chains. As I walk in the streets, the rain soaks me with your stories. It washes my eyes, and now I can see your memories. As I walk, your scent fills the air, and I hear your steps grow near. A bedroom raindrops, suddenly a shadow appears. A sound.
Welcome back. You're listening to us live on IRIB English Radio. Truly, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is a shadow for all the people. I mean, the concepts that are called Husseini concepts, his thoughts, his cause, his goals, his slogans, his everything, you know, acts like a way of life for all the people all across the world. Hussein is not limited to Shia Muslims, Sister Zainab. Hussein is not only for the Muslims all across the world. Hussein belongs to all. Very vividly, I could remember the bishop, the Christian bishop who took part in the Arba'in procession so many years ago, when he was asked about why attending in such a walk towards the city of Karbala. He said, listen, Prophet Muhammad is the prophet of Muslims. Jesus Christ is the prophet of Christians. Moses is the prophet of the Jews. And these are the prophets of different religions. What about Hussein? Hussein belongs to all. I mean, that sentence from a Christian man. Hussein and Hussein teachings belongs to all the people all across the world. Because this was Hussein who revived the true humanitarian values all across the world. Nowadays in the world, we could see that by the name of Hussein, by the value system of Hussein, the people stood against Israel. The people stood against, the evil powers of the world. The people helped the oppressed people of the world, the people of Gaza, the people of Palestine. And this was Hussein who was the influencer. Sister Zainab, helping the oppressed is another value which is very much pursued in the system thought of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Today, very much compatible, isn't it?
Definitely. And I actually, even before you were talking, I was thinking about Imam Hussein almost like in a different way. Because just, and maybe then we'll also just be feel reinvigorated and feel that, you know, we're on the path towards victory. Because I was thinking, just imagine. So what if Imam al-Hussein, if that had not happened?
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine.
Yes.
What would be, without that, would we have that strength, that sense of purpose, that courage to just go ahead on the path of resistance.
Very good.
Towards Allah.
Yes.
Would we just be doing, maybe we'd still be praying, mm-hmm. inshallah, but maybe that's it. We would not be concerned with our fellow believers, with the rest
yes.
of the Ummah. We would not be concerned with the rest of humanity.
This is what makes a difference between passive and active religious practice, okay? Very nice. So, I mean, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam has taught us in order to be active, practically speaking, okay? And this is what makes Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam fresh today.
And this is obviously the thing that makes him it's so easy for people outside of Islam to sort of get very close to him.
Yes.
Some of them, through getting close to him, will become close to Islam too. But obviously, as our sister Mariam said,
yes.
From live from Tehran,
yes.
she said that, yeah, it doesn't matter what our beliefs are. It is totally accessible. His revolution is accessible by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And because, of course, we all share the human fitra. That's the other thing we
have
to add.
That's right. This is the fitra, I mean, the innate nature that a person is born with, as we had in the speech of Dr. Chris here, or Dr. Julian Bond too, that, the Muslims are born with this innate nature of seeking for justice. And this is something the Muhammadi type of style of teaching to us, you know. And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was after reviving this type of religion, because in the 61 AH he understood that the religion of Islam is being deviated from the right path, from its right path. Okay, so for you, how Hussein is the role model? I mean, this is a personal question maybe, but sorry to ask.
So it's very personal, because in a sense, in Imam al-Hussein, as I said before, I really do see this sort of demonstration
mm-hmm.
of sacrificing everything for Allah, and a reminder that Allah will test us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be easy for us. We can't expect if we're on this path. If we want to be real believers, true Muslims, if we want to fight oppression, fight for justice, we will have to be prepared to lose everything. We cannot say, and we see that now with Gaza, people are prepared to be arrested. People are prepared to give up their jobs. People are prepared to endure other suffering on the path, fighting injustice, fighting oppression.
That's right.
And of course, for us as Muslims, this is something that we must do.
That's
in
right.
submission to Allah anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And being submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what the true definition of the religion of Islam is. You know, Islam and Taslim come from the same root, okay? And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam as being submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him greater and greater, a greater personality, a person who abides by his promises to Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali alayhi salam, his father, Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba, Fatima to Zahra. We must not forget the nurturing of the mother over here. And then, for the cause of Islam, do not paying allegiance to the oppressor of his time. This is exactly what Islamic Republic of Iran is following. Do not paying allegiance to the oppressor of the time, namely United States of America and Israel. And I think that based on this trend and based on this inclination of Islamic Republic of Iran, inshallah, the true justice will be sought after. I mean, by so many people who are following Islamic Republic of Iran now.
And obviously this is, so we need to also, this Muharram, especially everyone will be,
yes.
for sure, remind ourselves that we must be prepared to give everything. I have to just add in, this also, of course, harks back to the sacrifice that
right.
Prophet Ibrahim demonstrated.
Very good.
Because he was prepared to sacrifice his son.
His son.
This
Ishmael,
is what
right.
is maybe expected of us.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Prophet Ibrahim, for the sacrifice that he made, was cherished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was admired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he did not sacrifice his son. But Hussein was ready to sacrifice his son, Ali al-Akbar. I mean, for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So see that sometimes, some interpreters, when interpreting the status of our infallible imams, they consider them higher even than the prophets, because they were ready to sacrifice everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much, Sister Zainab, for being with us live on Arab English Radio, discussing the concept of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam as a role model, not only for Muslims, but non-Muslims. It was very kind of you.
Thank you so much, brother, and it's always a huge blessing to be in attendance here.
Inshallah, we'll have you all live with in the other programs following days during this month of Muharram. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, dear listeners. We covered today the top news of the funeral ceremony of our Shuhada in Tehran. You know that this month of Muharram coincides so many events. The martyrdom of so many of our military commanders, civilians, and nuclear scientists. We miss them. But this month of Muharram is a different one because they're going to be resurrected, inshallah, with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, like a wind here and there, the beautiful shadow of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam here and there. Thank you very much for staying with me live on IRIB English Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
You can follow the latest news on Iran Radio.
American Senator, Iran's nuclear program is not destroyed. Parsed today. American Senator Chris Murphy said after the secret meeting of the U.S. Senate that President Donald Trump's claim on annihilation of Iran's nuclear program is not true. According to Parsed today, quoting from Tasnim News Agency, Chris Murphy said, "It seems that we have delayed Iran's nuclear program for a few months. The president's claim that we have completely annihilated this program is not true." He added more sharply, "You cannot destroy know-how with bombardment." Mark Warner, a Democratic senator, also said to journalists that the assessment of Donald Trump administration on the attacks was hasty. Meanwhile, with the lapse of time, doubts increase about the claims of Trump administration concerning annihilation of Iran's nuclear program during June 22 aerial aggression. CNN and New York Times had already exposed a report from Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, affiliated to Pentagon, stating that the main parts of Iran's nuclear facilities have remained intact after the bombing, and these attacks have just delayed Iran's progress for a few months rather than several years. After the release of this report, the officials of Trump administration lambasted CNN and NYT with blind rage. New reports also indicate that the GBU-57 bunker buster bombs, which were supposed to annihilate the underground nuclear facilities in Fordo, have failed and challenged White House's claim of complete destruction of this site.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. English Radio.
shake the mind. Picture so clear that it gives sight to the blind. 8,000 years, but it can still break the heart. Hussein taught us when he stood there all alone, in a sight that gave tears to the eyes of stone. Never bow down to a tyrant on his throne, even if your head from your body they'd part. Even if your head from your body they'd part. Hissed and millions admire. I was blessed with Karbala. I was blessed with Karbala. Sure that his flag stands. Thirsty but selfless, he threw water away. Like Qasim and his cousin Ali Akbar, sons of which their mothers couldn't be prouder, gave their lives so in the centuries after. Against my own desire, I was blessed with Karbala. I was blessed with Karbala. Raised upon a spear, they'd see Hussein's
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
You can follow the latest news on Iran Radio.
Said Abbas Araghchi on new special interview program. If Iran's interests behoove, we will negotiate readiness to respond to ceasefire violations. Parsed today. Said Abbas Araghchi, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Islamic Republic of Iran, referring to indirect negotiations between Iran and the United States, said, "One of the reasons for the unprecedented solidarity of the Iranian people during this period is the honesty they observed in the performance of Iranian government. They saw that the government tried every possible way to reach a peaceful solution." According to Pars Today, quoting IRNA, Said Abbas Araghchi on Thursday evening, July 5th, participated in the new special interview program to provide explanations about recent developments in the field of foreign policy after the aggression of the Zionist regime and the United States against Iran. The Iranian foreign minister in this interview stated that no promise or arrangement has been made for negotiations with the U.S. so far and said, "We informed the Zionist regime that Iran is not Lebanon and any ceasefire violation will be responded to quickly and precisely." Araghchi, referring to the fact that enemies have exerted all kinds of pressure to deprive the Iranian people of their rights and nuclear rights, added, "All Iranians were united in defending the country." He, referring to the fact that Iran is alien to the word surrender, said, "This steadfastness will remain in Iran's history because a nuclear superpower and a nuclear armed regime and all Europeans mobilized and helped each other to break and surrender the Islamic Republic of Iran and its people to end an almost 50-year struggle against American hegemony, but they did not succeed." The Iranian foreign minister stating that Iran's policy for entering negotiations was precise, calculated, and intelligent, noted, "We announced that we are not against diplomacy and negotiation, but we will not play on the ground defined by the other side. Instead of direct negotiation, we proposed indirect negotiation and changed the negotiation conditions in our favor. With this approach, we entered negotiations whose rules we ourselves had set." Araghchi, referring to the facts that these 12 days will be recorded in history as a symbol of a nation's resistance and there was complete coordination between the field and diplomacy, said, "Our policy was that if the enemy stopped without preconditions, Iran would also cease its reactions." The Iranian foreign minister added, "Where is international right? Where are international laws? Not even one statement has been issued against the Zionist regime and the Human Rights Council." Araghchi also stated that it was the Zionist regime that requested a halt to operations and noted, "In the tweet I published, it was stated that we do not accept a ceasefire because a ceasefire is the product of a negotiation or the result of an agreement between two parties to halt operations after dialogue and negotiation. We do not accept any ceasefire or halt to operations in the agreed sense. However, if the Zionist regime does not continue its attacks, we also have no intention of continuing. In fact, what we accepted was precisely this. Further decisions will be made subsequently."
bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters around the globe. This is IRIB English Radio, the program to my brother. Please accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
But never my faith, no, never my faith, it's my voice. You may change both my hands, but never my soul, no, never my soul, it's my voice.
Okay, brothers and sisters, today we're going to talk about a very serious topic, and that is the etiquettes, specifically regarding our children's presence during the holy month of Muharram in mosques and other religious places. Let me start by saying about the month of Muharram and its, you know, direct impression and, you know, outstanding impact that it certainly has upon all human beings in general, and specifically, its effects on our children's lives. You know that this month, Muharram, marks, the anniversary of the Battle of Karbala, in which, our great Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, the great leader of the time and all the time, and also, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, attained, martyrdom. Of course, everybody has heard about it, from the history, that it was a brutal and savage combat in which Imam Hussein himself and almost all of his, companions and followers, other than a few members left alive, others all got, martyred, and his family was taken as a prisoner. To mourn his martyrdom, all people are, required to do so carefully and religiously and in the best manner possible. I mean, participants shouldn't, perform riots that are not, permissible in the Islamic rituals. This shows that, several acts and actions need to be, done to, greatly disseminate the true message of the Battle of Karbala and its, outcomes and consequences. So we have to refrain from some actions and, doings that probably bring the whole, scenario under the question. As Muslim adults, we all, must collaborate, coordinate, and cooperate with religious entities and communities just to make, sure that our children are taken to mosques and other places, and this should be done much ahead of this great month, Muharram. And of course, every and each person, has to encourage children to take part in Muharram, mourning sessions and processions, because there are many reasons and philosophies, in this month, and there are, of course, uncountable benefits for any participants, particularly our children. So the participation of children in Muharram or mourning sessions, has to be a concern for all Muslims, particularly parents. We should educate our children about this sacred month and things that took place within the first 10 to 40 days of this month to the family of Prophet. Of course, our children must learn that Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, was brutally massacred alongside his family and friends by the tyrant Yazid because of their belief in the religion of Islam. And of course, we have to let people know, especially our children, that there was a great message in that great battle that Imam Hussein went through with all his families and companions. And their martyrdom is a sad day for all Muslims, specifically we, the Shia, hold mourning ceremonies to recall the righteous, virtues for which these brave, martyrs, stood, and the grave calamities that they, had to bear, and the commemoration of this, brutal, massacre, Battle of Karbala, begins on the first day of Muharram and, reaches, its climax on the 10th of Muharram, the day of the battle, known as Ashura, and, continues for 40 days. So this is very important for us that our children know about this great month. And today we're going to listen to brother, Khalil Jafar, and he's going to be also talking about the topic and the importance of our kids in mourning sessions during the holy month of Muharram.
Look what Karbala gave us. In return, what can we give? I thought I'd go there to die, but in fact I went there to live.
You cannot die. You cannot die. You are alive, and I won't stop believing that I may die, but you will keep on living, that you live on even though we're left grieving, and I will walk on the road.
These are the days and nights, even though we have a busy schedule, we have to go to work in the morning, we children have school as well and so on, but these are the days and nights to bring our children to the mosque and to get them involved in activities related to Imam Hussein as much as possible. There is a lot of times where people will be critical of the things that are done in the name of Imam Hussein as quote-unquote rituals. And you will hear these criticisms of, what's the purpose of only wearing black clothes and just crying and just doing, Shabi and Alam and Tabut and just doing Matam when we don't understand the message of Imam Hussein, and the month comes and goes and we have not taken anything from it, and just eating and drinking and niyaz and sabil, and what's the point? We should understand the message and we should understand the philosophy and why Imam Hussein gave his life. I don't disagree with the importance of the philosophy and the message of Imam Hussein. But at the same time, I don't agree as well any attempt to downplay what we might call as rituals. Why? Because these, what we call rituals, they have a deep impact on our psyche. They leave something within our essence and our being that shape us and make us who we are. And when we teach our children from the young age, this can actually save their lives. Your child might be a very young child today, but one day he grows up and becomes a teenager. We are always concerned as parents that our children might fall into wrong company, that they might go astray, that they might stop praying and fasting, that they might get attracted to a different tradition, or get into all kinds of trouble. And we are worried, when that happens, how will we be able to rescue them? So we are always trying to protect them. One of the ways in which you can protect your children is to make them Husseini constantly. You will find that at the most difficult times in their lives, even as